VentureCast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And this is the thing about ads is that it's so good. When it's good and they work, it's like you're just minting money. That's how it can feel like. And then suddenly when they don't and you haven't built almost the foundations that you need to in place to actually have things running in the event that ads don't work or in the event that platforms go down or whatever, then that's when it's like, wow, do I really have a business? Like, do I actually really have a sustainable business here?
Welcome to Think Business with Tyler, sharing our methods and strategies for success. Join in on our conversations with business owners as we highlight their triumphs and detail how they overcame the challenges they faced while continuing to grow and scale their business. It's time to think life, think success, and think business with your host, Tyler Martin.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. Our guest today is Deidre Shen. Deidre is an entrepreneur, a podcast host, and a strategist for online businesses. During her 8-year-long entrepreneurial journey, she's had many successes, but failures too. Now, Deidre is committed to helping other entrepreneurs scale their business to multiple 6 and 7 figures. Not only does she help them through coaching sessions, but she's also a proud co-founder and CEO of CapShow. This is a software company that helps entrepreneurs with content creation. Deidre believes that you can achieve anything you want as long as you set the right goals. But what is the difference between a right goal and a wrong goal? Well, you're about to find out. In this episode, we talk about the importance of asking yourself the right questions when setting business goals, the benefits of systematizing your business, how to diversify your marketing strategy, and finally, why you need to do something that scares you to grow your business. It was awesome having Deidre on the show today, and I think you're going to get a lot out of this show. So let's go ahead and start the show. Hey, Deidre, thanks so much for being on the Think Business with Tyler podcast show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Tyler. I hear you're having a cool day over there.
Yeah, as well, relative, right? Nothing compared to, well, she was just making fun of me because my cold of 54 degrees is nothing like her cold in New York of what'd you say it was? Like below 50,000 or something?
Yes. I am also an Aussie, so it's also relative for me, right? Like as soon as it starts dropping, I'm like, no, this is too cold.
Yeah, my dogs and my wife, we lock up in the house, man, under 50. And it's like, it's kind of sad. It's pathetic. But anyway, hey, so you know what I'd love to start with? What do you do now? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so in terms of what I'm working on is a software platform actually called CapShow. And what it does is it helps entrepreneurs take the crappiness out of content creation. So that's what I'm working on and super excited about.
And there is so much crappiness in content creation. So we'll talk about that towards the end. But you know, I'd love to talk about what got us to you taking crappy stuff out of content making, what got you there. And I know you've had some businesses. So could you start just telling us some of your business journeys and all kind of ebb and flow in between what you're sharing?
For sure. Gosh, because I feel like I have so many. So I started in entrepreneurship almost a decade ago now, and it was in a brick and mortar hospitality business, which I would highly recommend that if anyone's starting their first venture, that maybe not be the one that you start with. But we had no idea, right? We were naive. This is my husband and I, you know, we were kids basically, gosh. And we just had this crazy idea that we were like, you know what? yeah, we can make this thing work. We had no idea what we're getting into because, by the way, neither of us had a background in hospitality. This is a crazy thing. So I was in banking. I was working corporate. My husband was studying medicine at the time and was miserable. And we both decided that, you know, because he'd actually loved baking. And we decided maybe this is something that we can do together, which would be pretty cool. So we just went ahead. Like feet first, head first, like everything first, because I don't know how we didn't get to the point where we're like, this isn't going to work. I can think back now and I'm like, how did we just keep going? Because we just kept going, even though we had to like sign on a 3-year lease, even though we had to take out debt, like quite big amounts of debt because we had to fit out the place. Like even though we had to, you know, we had all of these expenses before we even opened. I don't know how we at any point just didn't stop ourselves and be like, maybe we should rethink this. But we just went, like, as I said, just went barreling into it. And haven't looked back since. It's crazy.
So you have this hospitality business. It sounds like you go all in.
Yeah.
You don't really have a lot of experience in the area. What happens? Does it fail or do you somehow pick up traction and it takes off?
Well, that's kind of the fun. So I was a little bit, you know, tongue in cheek and I was like, oh, I would highly encourage that this not be anyone's first business. And I still do stand behind that. But I think the thing that I'm also actually really thankful for is that it was our first business because we had to make it work. You know, as I said, we were on the hook for debt. We were on the hook for lease agreements. We had we had all these things we couldn't not just easily get out of. It's kind of different now when you have an online business, you can just kind of, you know, shut down things but this we couldn't. And so we had to make it work, which was so scary because we didn't know the first thing about marketing. We, you know, talk about being naive. We were like, we literally thought that when we opened the doors, people would just be like running in for what we were, what we had because it was going to be that good. And, you know, anyone listening to this would probably know that the build it and they will come strategy does not work. So do not rely on that strategy because we did. And it was, gosh, it was months and months of like trying to figure all the things out. Like we were basically on the back foot going, okay, well, we can probably make these expenses this month with the little amount that we were getting in. But, you know, we couldn't see past, you know, the next month because we're like, I don't know how. So we threw everything at it. We, you know, we did letterbox drops, we did ads, we, you know, and really what I would, and, you know, this kind of then now comes into the what we do now with Capshow, but we, at the time, we actually relied a lot on social media and we didn't really know what it was because this was around the time that Instagram was also kind of getting known. But what we did do was at the time it was more food bloggers that were, you know, they kind of had the audience. So we were like, okay, let's try to invite food bloggers in. So we'd invite food bloggers in and then they would they'd come in like one or two a week type thing. So it's trickling in. It's not like a strategy like that's going to light anyone's world on fire, at least not immediately. But then they started mentioning this thing called Instagram. So they'd be like, yeah, I'll put it on a blog, but also we're starting to grow our own community on Instagram. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Do what you have to do. But then I was like, I don't know what this thing is. And then we had like a younger team member working with us and she was like, you guys have to get on Instagram. It's like the new thing. And so we were like, okay, try it. And it's really, really fascinating because since then, you know, we really rode the growth wave of Instagram. Like I really do credit that. But then, you know, I have a love-hate relationship. I was like, I'm really loving this and this is so great. And then things happen as they always do. Algorithms change, it gets saturated, and it becomes so much more of a grind in a way to have social media working for you. And that's when the hate part of the love-hate relationship started forming and, you know, having to be really intentful with, you know, what type of content we put out, who we work with, how we collaborate, all of those. We really needed to start putting, you know, a lot more thought into it. And even now more so now, because it's like incredibly, incredibly saturated. People are so, you know, just used to scrolling, like they're not even really looking to engage meaningfully a lot. Well, that's how it feels a lot of time, I think. And so it's so hard to feel like, you know, you need to be on there because that's kind of the platform that can help you get visible. It can help you build your credibility and authority. And yet sometimes you feel like you're shouting to the echo chamber and getting nothing for it.
Yeah, let's steer back. I want to talk about your business. We'll get in, I promise you, we'll get into the social media aspect, but let's first talk about, really interesting. You started a business with no experience. You had leases, you had commitments. It was a brick and mortar. Did you end up expanding that, or how did that go? What did that play into? What were some of the challenges?
Yeah. So we did. I actually remember this moment when, we were out to dinner. It was like I was still actually working a 9-to-5 and then I'd go do a night shift. It was called the Chalk Pot. It was that bar. So that was like, and I remember there was this one time that my husband and I could take the night off. It was a Friday night. And at the time because we weren't that busy. So we only ever had two people working in the store. So they were on and we were at this Japanese restaurant and we get a call from one of them and they're like, are you guys free? Can you come in? Like, I can't talk to you right now, but you just got to come in. And we were like, why? What's going on? And then, you know, we were kind of slightly freaking out because we didn't know what was happening. And so we jump in the car and we race over there and I get to the front to drop my husband off so I could find parking. And it was insane because the place was packed. Like, it was almost like, this is the thing. It was like the months and months of work, of stress, of like, is this going to, like, how are we going to meet expenses, but still doing it, like still inviting bloggers and influencers and trying to get the word out there, like almost. And that's why I say it's, you know, none of these strategies on their own is ever going to light the world on fire. But if you keep at it and they stack up, then it does suddenly. It felt like it didn't happen this way, but it felt like overnight we had become a success. And then from there, it kind of just snowballed, right? Like we started getting landlords reaching out to us and all these other people just being like, you guys are going to be the next big thing. Like we see you everywhere and everyone's talking about you. And so we were taking these meetings and we were being sold the dream on a lot of new developments that were happening, you know, these landlords wanting us in. And we, you know, like, yeah, we opened, you know, the formal stores, the Chalk Pot brand.
So you had five locations?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had five locations and then we also had, currently have two. So alongside it, we also opened a burger restaurant. So we have two of those locations. And so we had five locations at the peak. We don't anymore, and we can get into why, but it almost in the space of, I think, 3 years since opening, we had four locations and then, you know, another one coming after.
One thing you shared with me is you talked about being too hardcore on your goals and you felt maybe that played a little bit into just creating more challenges to get where you want to go. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like, what do you mean by being too hardcore on your goals? You don't usually hear that.
Yeah. So I think it was, you know, because you always, and I do encourage people set goals because you have to have something that you strive towards. Sure. But I think the way that we're thinking about it at the time, again, we're young, naive, and we're just like, okay, well, we're being told that we have set goals, so let's set the goals and let's do it. And I'm very much like a commitment. Like if I commit, then I'm, you know, I really commit. And so at the time we were like, okay, well, the way that we were going to grow and all of that was going to be by opening more stores. That seemed logical to us at the time. And so we had set a goal to open another three stores. And, you know, once I make that commitment, I'm like all in, and it has to happen no matter what. And that's what I mean by being hardcore on goals. But, and I think at the same time, you know, I talk about these landlords and stuff like starting to reach out to us more and more. I was getting emails almost every day from people being like, you got to come check out this new location or that location or whatever. You know, I've heard about you and, you know, you've got to come in here. You'd be a perfect fit for this. So, you know, you think about how we're so hardcore with goals, the wrong goals, by the way, but hardcore with these goals, and also being driven almost by our ego because we were getting flattered by these, you know, and that was just a recipe for disaster because we signed up to these leases without probably doing the type of due diligence we should have because we had a goal in mind that we had to meet and we let our ego drive us to this. Yeah. So we opened these stores, really expensive stores in suboptimal locations, being sold a dream, and they didn't all work out.
When you say wrong goals, is there anything you learned from in terms of like, how do you know when you have the wrong goal? Like what should we look for, do you think?
Yeah. So when I think about how, because it's kind of almost like the goal and then there's the how you're going to reach those goals. I think the thing that we had gotten the two mixed up, right? If we had set a goal to be like, okay, we want to increase sales, or we want to, you know, whatever, which is a more general, generic goal, then your mind starts to think about other ways that it could solve that problem. And this is the great thing about starting to ask yourself the right questions, right? Like if we had asked ourselves the right question, which is actually we want to be growing sales in this way rather than we want to open stores, then our minds probably would have started thinking about other ways that we could have reached that goal, a sales revenue, a sales goal. But because we were so into, okay, well, the only way that we're going to be able to reach our growth, you know, goals, whatever, was to open stores, that was all we were thinking about. It was just about open stores at almost all costs, any cost. So I think that's what I mean by like setting the right goals, and almost when you set the right goals, you start to ask yourself the right questions.
Yeah, that is interesting to your point. Like the more stores you open, the more moving parts you have. I mean, logically, it makes sense. Yeah, if you have more stores, you're going to have more sales. But there's also more moving parts. There's more employees. There's more chance for things to go wrong, more inventory, more vendors needed, all kinds of things. So it is interesting how that perspective, you know, you also shared with me, you used a phrase, the lie about systemization. And I loved it because, you know, I'm kind of like a systemization and process guy, and like that's a big thing, but I loved your take on it. You know, obviously there's good and bad from it. Could you share your story around where systemization sometimes could sound a little bit better than it is?
Yeah. And by the way, I am a big fan of systemization. So,
right.
But yeah, I think the lie about it in a way is because once we believe, once we think that we've systemized, whatever that means, right? And generally when we're like, oh yeah, everything's systemized, then it allows us to kind of like let ourselves off the hook about really delving into things. So now why I bring that up is because we could not have, there are going to be things that you can't foresee, right? Like you just can't. So, and the story that I have around this is, this is probably about, gosh, 4 years ago now, we found out that our store manager of our largest grocery store, so it was in the heart of the city, had actually been stealing from us, and he'd been stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars from him, like a lot of money.
Wow.
It's insane. And you kind of go like, that didn't even enter our minds, because, you know, I get asked the question a lot to be like, but, you know, didn't you have systems around that? Didn't you? And I was like, well, no, because that's just not how my brain works. Like I don't go into a place thinking, oh, either I'm going to steal or so I'm going to get stolen from. Like that's just, and so it's like, we can do all we can to systemize and do, and, you know, put everything in place that will help us run a business and do the, you know, all of that. But there are going to be some things that we just can't foresee. And that's kind of the lie about systemization, which is like, because systemization is all about how do you foresee the future and how do you put the systems in place to meet that? And sometimes you just can't.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a great point. And it is frustrating, and I'm sure you has a personal element too when someone steals from your business. To your point, like if you don't think that way, or unless you were trained that way, you know, my background included that type of training, but unless you're trained that way, you just don't know, like you don't even think that people would be doing things like that until you find out. And then you probably have a giant pit in your stomach the more you dig. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, I do want to segue into another thing you've said, and this kind of correlates to more of what you do now, is you made a comment to me when we were talking earlier that paid ads suck. Probably not always, but a lot of times. Could you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so definitely not always, but I think, you know, everyone probably feels the pain of like the glory days almost, when things were working or seemingly working and then suddenly they don't. And, you know, a lot of people talk about their own experiences. You know, I know that Russell Brunson talks about it. I was speaking to Wilco, the founder of UpViral, and he was talking about his own, you know, version of the Google slap and things like that. And I was speaking to another mentor as well, and she had built her business entirely on Facebook ads. And now she's finding herself like this more than double what she used to pay for leads, which is not sustainable for her business. And she's just like, what do we do? Like she, you know, it's, and this is the thing about ads is that it's so good when it's good and they work, it's like, you're just minting money. That's how it can feel like. And then suddenly when they don't, and you haven't built almost the foundations that you need to in place to actually have things running in the event that ads don't work or in the event that platforms go down or whatever, then that's when it's like, wow, do I really have a business? Like, do I actually really have a sustainable business here? Or have I just been kind of, you know, relying on the fact that I can just pay or buy or afford to buy leads that I just can't anymore? So it's unfortunate for a lot of people who have built their businesses on the back of ads.
Yeah. Advertising definitely can fluctuate. I have several clients that, you know, sometimes it's the greatest thing in the world and then other times it just dries up. So what is, you know, we've talked a little bit about content marketing being a pain. Advertising can be inconsistent and costly. So let's segue a little bit into what is a good solution for a business that wants to grow and, you know, has to use the internet as a means to drive traffic. What are your suggestions around that and what are solutions?
Yes. So it's all about diversification and it's kind of like diversification in everything, right? Like you think about your own, you know, stock portfolio or whatever, like you always want to be diversifying because again, if you put all your eggs in one basket, there's huge risk that you're building into, you know, into that portfolio. It's the same with your business, right? You want to diversify it. So, but the trick is like, how do you diversify it without, because it's also hard. It's a lot of time and effort and potentially money to actually be on different platforms, to build an email list that you can get in touch with every day, but also still be in ads because that's never going to go away. So, you know, it's definitely a viable channel. But diversification is really what you need to be doing. You need to be able to tap into your audience in any way that, you know, that they, where they may be. So that's why, you know, that's kind of why we've gone down this path of definitely the software that helps take the crappiness out of content creation, but then also, you know, we bolt onto, so we also have a coaching program that actually also helps with how do you do all of what you need to do in terms of getting the word out there, even getting leads organically on social media while only spending 2 hours a week on social media activity. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of the secret sauce. How do you diversify and be everywhere and be able to get in front of your audience, whatever happens in other channels, but not have to drain your time and your energy doing that all? That's kind of the secret sauce. And yeah, that's something that we're working on currently.
If you're a business owner feeling stuck in your business, overwhelmed, responsible for everything that happens, and working long hours, Tyler helps his clients develop processes, hire high-performing team members, and better understand their financial metrics and numbers to allow for a more predictable, less hands-on business. To schedule a free, no-pressure consultation, head to thinktyler.com and click the meeting button. Tyler would love to see if he can help you work on your business, not in your business. Schedule a consultation today at thinktyler.com. Think life, think success, think business.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
That's kind of the secret sauce. How do you diversify and be everywhere and be able to get in front of your audience, whatever happens in other channels, but not have to drain your time and your energy doing that all? That's kind of the secret sauce. And yeah, that's something that we're working on currently.
How do you do that though? How do you only be online for 2 hours when, if you want to have a process, or I mean, if you want to have a presence, excuse me, not a process, but a presence online, how do you keep it to 2 hours? Like what, is there a trick around that or is it just discipline or what are your thoughts?
Well, it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
So for me, I have a virtual assistant. We call them a virtual office assistant. Yeah. Super cost effective. And they are, gosh, some of the best capable people that we've ever worked with. So they are based in the Philippines. And I literally, okay, so if I break down, I literally spend less than 2 hours a week, actually. But if we break it down, there's kind of, because there's a whole like process to it. Because again, this is when systemization comes in. And so I train them to do something that we call content hacking, which is all about how do you find really well-performing posts, content out there that your audience is engaging with that you can use as inspiration for your own content. So that's kind of their first step. They'll go away, do that, and come back to me. We'll have what we call a planning meeting where they'll kind of pitch almost, like, these are the things that I want you to do, Deidre. Like, this is the type of images I want you to shoot. This is the type of videos I want you to take. This is the type of reels that I want you to create. And so that's like literally 30 minutes of my time that we will go through that planning meeting. We'll agree, and then I'll go away and I'll do the things. I'll, you know, shoot the video, or, you know, create the reel. And that actually only takes me 30 minutes as well to do, because everything's there. They've told me what they need me to do. I just need to follow those instructions. And then I use our software Capshow, because that's really what helps entrepreneurs turn their stories into a bank of captions. So I'll actually input a story, and that takes me about 20 minutes to do. And that spits out a bank of captions for my VA to pick up and insert with the posts. And then they'll work on she'll work on a 9-grid of posts for Instagram, let's say. And then I spend another 20, 30 minutes reviewing it. And that's it. That's 2 hours of my time a week.
So I got a silly question. What's a 9-grid? I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah. So 9-grid is like, you know, on Instagram, when you go to your profile, and it's kind of like 3 posts.
Okay.
The way that we think about it is like in a 9, so 9 posts almost, because you want to kind of, we want it to aesthetically all look good as well. So that's how we think about it, yeah.
Okay. And then the software, just to get clarity here, sounds like a really good system. And then the software, it creates some type of captions, or what does it do? Has it got some type of AI to it, or what does it do?
Yeah, so it's currently quite rules-based, but we are going to be starting to put some machine learning, AI behind it. But we just wanted to, so we actually only launched MVP end of last year. And so we were like, let's keep it rudimentary. Let's just test this. But, you know, the more that we spoke to people and we got clients on, the more they were like, this is awesome. So the starting point for Capture is the entrepreneur story. So, you know, and it could be, what I do is, because I also have my own podcast, I co-host with someone else. And so we'll have a chat generally about something that has happened in my week. And then what I'll do is I'll spend, you know, just after we record, I'll actually input into Capture the story that, you know, and what we've just spoken about. And so I use almost that long form content to put it in, and then it just spits out a whole host of short form captions content for me that well, then my VA can actually pick up and use. It's actually, it's really cool.
So you said it's rule-based. Is that the person using it has to set up the rules, or is that something you guys have done behind the scenes? You've set up the rules. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Very
it's
cool.
It's going to become a lot smarter.
I'm sure it's, those types of things tend to evolve. Sounds like a cool tool. And then those stories, do you use those for Instagram, Twitter? What platforms? Are they all platforms, or what are your thoughts around platforms?
Yeah, so Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok as well. Sometimes YouTube too, depending on what the video, like what the content is. We'll sometimes use them in YouTube. I'm not a big Twitter user, so I actually don't have a Twitter profile, but it can actually be used for Twitter as well. So yeah, any platform really, because the whole thing is it's based on your story. So in a way, and it was designed that way, because then it doesn't matter what platform you're on, because your story is always going to be the thing that connects you with your audience, regardless of the platform.
Right. So it sounds like you leverage virtual assistants in your own work. Are you a big recommender in terms of using VAs as a way to leverage a small business owner's time? What are your thoughts on how do you find the right people, and any words of wisdom there?
Yeah, 100% I would recommend it. And I didn't think that I was ever ready to, when we hired our first VA, I was always like, oh, we're not making enough, or we're still too small or whatever. But seriously, when I made the decision anyway I still kind of didn't really know how I was going to fill up her hours. I actually told her, I was like, look, I don't know if we have much work, so let's start with only like a handful of hours. And then before you know it, she was working full time for it. I was like, it's like it starts to becoming not about what is it that you can give them, but what is it they can do? And they can do so much, so much, and take not only take things away from you that you don't want to do, but actually do things that you know you should be doing, that should be getting done for your business, but you just don't have the time or the will to do it. They do, like, it's been amazing. And so I talk about organic lead gen a lot. Like, each of our VAs, so we have 4 now, each of them all do organic lead gen for us on different platforms, all of them, because I'm of the mind that you know, I don't want to be adding expenses, especially as a, you know, a smallish business.
Sure.
I don't want to be adding more expenses. I want to be adding to top line. And so everyone that I bring in, I always want to be thinking about how can I have them working on top line activities, which is why they all do lead gen for me. And it's been incredible. It's been amazing. Yeah. So, sorry, back to your question. In terms of like, what would I recommend? Look, there's no, so yeah, I, all of ours are from the Philippines. We've worked with like the ones that we have on are amazing. We've also worked with some not so amazing ones. So it's not like I can blanket say they're all so good. So it is going to be really knowing what it is that you're looking for. Now, for us, experience is actually not a big thing that we look for, to be honest, because we can teach them everything. And I think this is a very common thing, right? Like anyone can be taught, anyone who's capable enough can be taught anything, especially if you have the systems in place. But it really comes down to their willingness to learn, comes down to their attitude to an openness with communication and, you know, speaking up if they don't understand or if they are stuck somewhere. And that can be a hard thing for a lot of, especially like offshore VAs, because they don't want to seem like they don't know things or they don't, you know, they're always, always in fear of losing their job. And so we deliberately try to create a really safe environment where they don't have to be afraid of, like, we would prefer that they speak up because then we're all on the same page. We need open communication. And so honestly, like for us, we don't hire for any particular experience or, you know, expertise, but we do look out for people who want to come into a culture like ours, because it's also not for everyone. Like we do ask a lot in terms of growth mindset, in terms of pushing yourself, in terms of, you know, wanting to work in a team, in terms of really wanting to contribute. And that can sometimes not be for everyone. And so we've worked with people who that wasn't what they were there for. And we're like, okay, well, unfortunately, this can't work. But hey, we know this other business that they're just looking for someone to tick the boxes. So, you know, maybe that's, we can introduce you to them maybe. So yeah, so there's no like, unfortunately, there's no silver bullet. It is kind of like you just kind of have to bring them in and see how, give them a trial, see how they respond to feedback and how you communicate with them. And yeah, take it from there. But I always, always lean on, you know, leadership is you have to have, like, you have to want to be a leader.
Right. Yeah, something you brought up really resonates with me. And I think it's hard sometimes for people working with VAs, especially when they're offshore in particular, is that cultural difference, that mentality, like they're maybe in the case of Filipinos, is they're really always thinking about losing their job. Like, I don't want to do things that are going to cause me to lose my job. And there is an adjustment period for, and I'd say from our standpoint, not from their standpoint, in terms of how you approach it and give them a safe environment. And it does have a big impact in terms of the end result for both you and them. So that's a lot of wisdom there. So that's really cool. I got a couple fun questions I want to end with. You had mentioned to me that you read a lot. I'd love to know if you'd be open to sharing either a great book you've read or one you're reading.
Yeah, gosh, I got hooked. Okay, so I'm actually not a big fantasy reader. I'm really not. But and so I'm going into the fiction realm. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine. That's great.
But yeah, I just finished reading a series by Naomi Novik. It's just, she writes about such great heroines. She has such great storylines and really beautiful ways that she, you know, paints the world. And as I said, I'm not a fantasy reader, but I just was hooked. And so it's on my mind just because I literally finished it yesterday and I was like, no, how could it end like that?
There's nothing worse than finishing a good book, I'll tell you. I mean, yes, a feeling of accomplishment, but then there's like, oh man, what am I going to read now?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's cool. Also, it is another fun one. Yeah, I'd love to, before we wrap up, I'd love for you to give us either a life or a business tip that you've learned along the way that you could share with myself and the audience. Anything come off the top of your head?
Yeah, you know what? I actually was just talking about this even in the last podcast episode that I recorded. And I was actually reflecting. So I had just, for Capture, as I said, we launched MVP end of last year. And we did that we got an agency to help us with that. And I was actually faced with a decision. I was like, we could keep working with this agency. Again, pretty cost effective. And I don't know if anyone's worked with agencies, but you pretty much tell them what to do when they just do that thing, right? That was one choice, and it was safe and it was, you know, smart from a cost, you know, expense line perspective. And I had another choice where I could actually bring on a CTO. because I've been talking to someone and he was really interested in this project and helping us work on it. But CTOs are expensive. They don't come cheap, right? And so I was faced with this decision about which path do I go. So I finally made the decision and pulled the trigger on bringing a CTO on. And not only that, but we started actually hiring. We first hired our first full-time developer, which is super exciting. We're actually interviewing for another position.
Wow.
And I was talking to my husband just like on the weekend, and I was like, I can actually feel. So it was a really hard decision because logic would tell me that, you know, the business, it's not like we're making all of this money that I can afford to do that. I should go down the safe path, right? I have a degree in accounting. I went into banking. I should know, like, that's the safe, you know, that's the thing that makes sense. And yet I made this leap anyway. But the thing is that once I made that leap, I found myself actually feeling, I could feel the change in myself, how much I had leveled up and how much I was like, it's almost a given that this business is now going to be a success because I'm going to make it so. And so I think this is like every time that we're faced with this really scary decision, which we are always going to be as entrepreneurs, right? Like whether that's to invest in ourselves or whether that's to invest in our business or, you know, whatever that is, always know that sometimes the scary decision, actually almost always the scary decision is going to be the right one because that's when you know that you're going to be forced to level up. And if you're capable, which I know you all are, then you're going to meet that. You're going to level up because you have to. And so, yeah, so that's kind of what I would say only because I literally have just gone through this myself.
That is cool. That is really cool. And I can imagine the fear or anxiety, I should say, of hiring someone like that because it's, you're suddenly making a commitment to them. But it does raise the ceiling to your business almost overnight. So that, what a cool move. And it's great to hear your growth too. As you start to put those pieces in place, I'm sure it'll start to even gain steam faster.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because that's why it's so funny when we think that we're making the logical choice. And that's why I made such, you know, that was, you know, going down the agency path and spending less money and all that was the logical choice. But really, when you think about it, it's kind of the illogical choice because you're going to be capped, right? Like we know that by going down that path, we wouldn't be scaling. We wouldn't be building something for scale. So we were always going to be capping ourselves. So why do that? Was actually the illogical choice when you think about it. So yeah.
But it feels so much safer. Yeah. No, I'm with you all the way. Right? Hey, I'll put this in the show notes too. Your website is CapShowUnlocked/getleads is where we'd like people to go to check out. There's a link that takes you to a free, it's an accelerator on February 21 through 23. I believe it's free.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's just free from 8 a.m. PST until, do I have the time to try it? 8 a.m. PST for an hour. Yeah. And it's an hour. Okay, cool. It's CapShowUnlocked.com. And CapShow is spelled CapShO. CapShow. Is there anywhere else you'd like, if people wanted to reach out to you and just talk, chat with you, anywhere else you'd like them to go?
Yeah, for sure. Hit me up on really any of the social media channels. Just
except Twitter. Name.
Except for Twitter. Deirdre Shen. So the DeirdreTshien. So yeah, I'm on Instagram, on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, not on Twitter. I'm on TikTok as well. So yeah, reach out to me. You can even visit my other website, which is deirdreshen.com. And if you want to know more about the software, then it's capshow.com. But yeah, definitely sign up for the free 3-day accelerator that will, I'm going to go through the exact strategy of how you can get known and get leads using social media at exactly where Tyler said.
Very cool. Okay. Well, hey, and I'll put it in the notes too. It's been a blast to have you. Love to have you back when you hit your first 100 million or maybe even if it's less and we can have you on again. So thanks for your time and look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Sure.
That's all for this episode of Think Business with Tyler. But we have plenty more resources to help you in your pursuit of business excellence on our website at thinktyler.com. If you'd like to be featured in a future episode of the show, feel free to reach out to us on social media at think_Tyler. We look forward to helping you think life, think success, and think business.
Wow. Welcome to Sara Talk Solutions. Ladies and gentlemen, you've tuned into a bit of a different type of show. I'm Sara B and I'm your host. You can find me on my IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA. I talk about amazing, relevant conversations and topics and what functions that goes on in this magical, wonderful, wonderful city of the City of Angels. My IG, which is Aussie_Sara_LA.
Hey, it's Tim from 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys, the comedy podcast you had no idea you needed. Join Ben, Jeff, and me as we continue our musical road trip back through the years and around the globe. See, just when you thought all white guys were like Joe Rogan, you come across three educators trying to remember when we were cool.
50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys.
Electric acid.